Well, this morning, we're going to continue some thoughts that we began a few weeks ago in reference to the question, what will happen at the end of time? And you remember that in studying this particular question, one of the first things that we noted is that Jesus will return. And we talked about that, how that He will appear at the end of time, and that He will come with angels, He will come with His saints. And most importantly, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7 says, "Behold, He comes with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him, even so." Amen. Every eye shall see Him. Now that's an important point to think about in regard to the second coming of Christ. Because when He comes back again, it's not going to be hidden. It's not going to be a mystery. It's not going to be something, well, you just didn't understand because you weren't spiritually aware enough. Every eye shall see Him. And it's going to be an event that you cannot miss. And so what will happen at the end of time? Jesus will return. But then a couple of weeks ago, we talked about this second point, which is that the dead shall be raised and the living caught up. And so when Jesus comes back again, there's going to be a general resurrection of the dead. And this will happen through the power of God. And every single person who has ever lived upon the face of the earth, they will be raised from the dead. Since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Alive, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 21 through 23. We note that Jesus made it clear that it's going to be both the good and the wicked who will be raised from the dead, and it will be done in the same hour. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in which all who are in the grave shall hear His voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of condemnation or judgment. And so all are going to be raised from the dead. Those who are alive at that time will not precede those who are raised. But after those who are raised from the dead are caught up with the Lord in the air, then those who are living will be caught up with Him in the air as well. And then all will proceed unto the next phase of what will happen at the end of the time and the topic for our discussion this morning. And that is that there will be a great judgment. Sometimes we refer to the whole event as Judgment Day, that last day, the day in which Jesus will return and all will be raised from the dead and be gathered before the great throne of God, and then ultimately we will enter into our eternal estate. Well, that is something we will talk about next week, what the eternal estates will be. But this morning we want to talk about that great judgment day. We want to talk about judgment itself. In 2 Peter chapter 3 in verses 7 and 10, Peter discusses some of the events that are going to take place on that day. You see, because, after Jesus comes back and after the dead are raised, then some other events are going to happen. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3 starting in about verse 7. Peter says, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." Now look in verse 10. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and all the works that are therein shall be burned up." And so Peter is talking about when Christ returns again, what is going to happen. And there will be a great judgment day. And that judgment day is going to begin by the earth being judged. And the earth is going to be burned up with fire and with unquenchable heat. The elements are going to melt. And everything is going to pass away. And there will be no earth anymore. There will be no universe anymore. Because all of those things are going to be done away with on this day of judgment. But then, as we mentioned, every single person who is then raised from the dead, who has been raised from the dead, is going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, some people teach that there's going to be three different judgments. And I don't know where they get this from, other than the fact that there may be three different Bible passages that talks about judgment. But I think that if you look at these passages, it seems quite clear that everyone is going to be judged at this judgment, that it's not going to be a separate judgment for different people. Now, some say there's going to be three different judgments. There's going to be the judgment of the sheep versus the goats. And they get that from Matthew chapter 25. And sure enough, if you turn to Matthew chapter 25, you see that there is a separation there. Look at Matthew chapter 25 for just a moment. And in this context, Jesus is talking about these final things and what's going to happen at the end of time. Let's look at what he says here in Matthew chapter 25, starting in about verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. So now here's Jesus sitting on the throne of glory. He's come back. Now He's sitting on the throne of His glory, and judgment is about to begin. Verse 32, all the nations will be gathered before Him. Now I want to stop right there for just a moment. All the nations will be gathered before Him. Now are you part of a nation? Well, of course you are. There's not a single person who's ever lived upon the face of the earth that was not part of the nations of one kind or another. And so every single person will be in this judgment. All the nations will be gathered before Him. And notice what it says. And He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on His left. Now, Jesus isn't talking about judging nations here, even though He is talking about judging nations, in the sense that He's talking about judging all the individuals that are in the nations. And you say, well, how do you know that? Well, we know that from the rest of the context and what Jesus says in the rest of this context. When He turns to individual people and He says to those on His right hand, come, you blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Now, that's not the action of nations per se. It's the action of individuals, individual people who practice individual acts of righteousness toward one another. He says in verse 36, I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick, you visited me. I was in prison, you came to me. That's the work of individuals. And so while it says He's going to gather the nations, what he means by that is that everyone's going to be there. All nations, not a single exception. And so you see, there is this one judgment. And then the sheep are going to be separated from the goats. Now, who are these sheep and who are these goats? Well, the sheep are the ones who love God, kept His commandments, obeyed Jesus, really tried to love their neighbor as themselves, and really did in their life what God and Christ wanted them to do in their life by practicing acts of kindness and love toward other people. And specifically, I want to note selfless acts of love. Because if you look at the people who Jesus talks about here, these are not people who can give you back anything for what you've done. And that's important. Because that's what being a Christian is all about. It's not about, you know, doing certain things so we can gain certain benefits. Like, for example, in a job or something like that, where you work so that you can get a paycheck. Or you do certain things for your boss so that you can get certain benefits in regard to that job. That's not what Christianity is about. Christianity is about selflessness. Like we talked about this morning in Philippians chapter 2, in looking at what Christ left. He left the Father. He left glory. He did not have to come to this earth and be a lowly person. He could have been the middle class. He could have been in the aristocracy. But he didn't do that. He humbled himself. He became obedient in all things. His act was an utterly, completely selfless act. He didn't do it for himself. That's what it meant for him to be Christ. That's what it meant for him to be God. And it's what it meant for him to be a human as well. You see, that's the confluence of God and man together, is really humbling ourselves and serving one another without consideration or without thought of gain of any kind from one another. And that's what Jesus is talking about here in verse 34 and 35 and 36. Can the hungry give us something back for what we have given them? I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty. Can the thirsty give us something back for what we give them? I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. You see, the naked can't give you any clothes. They don't have any clothes to give. I was sick and you visited me. Those who are sick don't have anything to give. They're ill. They're impoverished physically. I was in prison and you came to me. Those who are in prison don't have anything to give. It's our giving these selfless acts and serving one another that Jesus will regard as doing what he desires us to do. And so here's the righteous. Verse 37 will answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. And so Jesus regards selfless acts done toward others as selfless acts done toward him. And that's the standard of judgment that Jesus is going to use on the judgment day. And that's why we need to be acting in that way toward one another. And so those are the sheep. The goats are the ones who did it for show. They thought that they were going to get something out of it. They went out and they did all of these deeds thinking they were doing them for Christ, when really they were just doing them for themselves. And they weren't practicing what Christ really told them to practice. And they will be sent away. And so there's going to be a great judgment day. And this is going to happen on that judgment day. And everyone will be gathered here. And that's the point that we want to talk about. Everyone will be gathered on this judgment day. All nations. Now another passage that talks about this great judgment is 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. Now some say that 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10 has in mind only the saints, only those who have been faithful to God over the many years. But that passage doesn't say only the saints. It doesn't say only the faithful. Again, it uses the word all. It says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now some will say, well, now this judgment seat of Christ, this is a just different judgment seat than the judgment seat here of the sheep and the goats. And then they will talk about how the judgment seat of Christ, you see, that's just judgment for Christians. And it's not judgment in the terms of condemnation, but it's judgment in the terms of, well, here's what you're going to get as a reward for being faithful to the Lord. He's going to judge your life. He's going to see all the good things you did. And then you're going to see your reward in that regard. But that is not what 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10 is teaching. Because the passage clearly says that everyone may receive the things done in his body according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And so this isn't talking about just the judgment of the righteous, but the judgment of the righteous and the wicked as well. And again, it says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. All. All means all. All nations, chapter 25 and verse 31, all people, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. And so this is not a separate judgment. It's the same judgment. And then they'll go to Revelation chapter 20 and say, well, there is a third judgment here. And they will say, this is the great white throne judgment. Well, let's look at that. Revelation 20 and verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Now we know what happens to the heaven and the earth from 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. It's all burned up. And so this is the same judgment scene that takes place after the earth has been destroyed. Because it says, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The dead, small and great. Again, this is everyone. This is all who have been raised from the dead. It doesn't say the saints raised from the dead. It doesn't say the wicked raised from the dead. It just says the dead, small and great. Every single one. And they were standing before the throne, and they were judged from the book of life. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. Death and Hades. Hades literally means the unseen place. Hades doesn't have reference to the place of punishment and torment that Jesus calls Gehenna, or that is called torments sometimes. It just has reference to the place where the dead go. It can be either the place of paradise that Jesus told the thief about when he was on the cross, when he said, today you shall be with me in paradise. Or it can be the place of torments that Jesus told in the story of the rich man and Lazarus, where the rich man went when he was in torments there. And so Hades doesn't have reference to either a place of pleasure or a place of punishment. It doesn't have reference to either one of those. It's just the place where the dead are. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. Now, who's in Hades? Every single person who has ever lived and who has ever died. That's who is in Hades right now. Every single one. And what does it mean? That means that everybody's coming to this throne of judgment here in Revelation 20 and verse 11. And they were judged, each one according to their works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Anyone not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, there's some who are found in the book of life and some who are not found in the book of life. But they're both here at this judgment seat. The ones who are not found in the book of life are cast in the lake of fire. The ones who are found in the book of life have a different outcome for their eternal existence. We'll talk about that next week. But we just want to note that this is the same judgment scene. This is the same judgment scene that we find in Matthew chapter 25. It's the same judgment scene that we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. Because there is just one judgment. There's not three different judgments for three different kinds of people or three different classes of people. There's just one judgment, and that's it. And when we get to that judgment day, it will be very clear that there will be just one judgment. Now, the emphasis of this is that we need to prepare right now. Jesus said he'll come as a thief in the night, which means we don't know when that's going to be. It will be unexpected, and it will be at a time when we are not looking for him. And so we need to be prepared at all times. But every soul will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And this is the day of judgment in which the world will be judged according to righteousness. Now look at Acts chapter 17 and verse 31 for just a moment. Acts chapter 17 verse 31. This is at the end of the Apostle Paul's speech to those Athenians here on what was called the Areopagus, which is an outcropping of rock that overlooks Athens. And you can still go there today and even climb up that little hill there and see, stand exactly in the same place the Apostle Paul stood when he said these words in Acts chapter 17 and verses 30 and 31. In verse 30, he says, at the end of this speech to these Athenians who were idolaters and they didn't believe in the one true God, he said, that the times of ignorance now God has overlooked. And he has commanded that all men everywhere repent. And then he says this, inasmuch as he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. Now, how do we know that Jesus is going to be the judge? We know that because God raised Jesus from the dead. That's the evidence that we have that Jesus is going to judge, and that's pretty good evidence. And so we need to listen to the words of Jesus. John chapter 12 and verse 48, Jesus says, the words that I speak, the same will judge you in the last day. And so we need to listen to the words of Jesus. But Acts 17 and verse 30 says that God has appointed a day in which he will, notice, judge the world in righteousness. Now we've seen all nations, Matthew 25. We've seen all people, 2 Corinthians 5. We've seen all the dead, Revelation 20. And now the world, Acts chapter 17, verse 31. So there's just one judgment day, and that day is coming. He has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Now in this judgment, we will see that every knee will bow to Christ. And they will do so willingly. Now there's a lot of people today who unwillingly bow the knee to Christ. But the Bible says that every knee will bow the knee to Christ in that day. There won't be any question that Christ is King. There won't be any discussion as to whether or not they're going to bow the knee. They will bow the knee. And they will do it because of the great love that God has for all people. And the love that they will see in Christ Jesus and the love that he has for all people. Now, God never forces anybody to do anything that they don't want to do. And when they get to judgment, and they see who God really is, and they see who Christ really is, and they understand that God has all of this love for them, and they actually experience that love and know that love in a very real, personal way, they will bow the knee to Christ because they will want to do that for the love that Christ showed. For it is written, Romans 14, verse 11, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. And then all will give account of their earthly deeds. Romans 14, and verse 12. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Now, I don't know how all this is going to take place. I don't know, you know, how all of this is going to happen, how long it's going to take, anything like that. I just don't know. But the Bible says that everyone shall give account of himself to God, and that nothing will be hidden from God. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 14 says, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And so nothing is going to be hidden. We think we can hide our sins, but we can't. And one day all of those sins are going to be very well known. And they're going to be very, very well documented. And God is going to confront us with those things. And we need to get right with God while we have opportunity to get right with him. So that in that day, when we are confronted with our sins, that we don't have to worry about it. Because we will have been forgiven of those sins. Now the Christian doesn't have anything to worry about. Because he's forgiven. And he can acknowledge those sins. And he can stand before God and he can say, yes, I did all of those things. Now the one who isn't forgiven has something to worry about. Because when he is confronted with his sins, he's not going to have any place to go. And that will be a day of judgment for sure when that takes place. And so nothing will be hidden from God. Every work will be brought into judgment with every secret thing. Then, after the judgment, the sheep are going to be separated from the goats, Matthew 25:31-33, we saw that. And ultimately, all will enter into their eternal estate. Now, as a child of God, as a Christian, Jesus says that we fall into a special category. Turn to John chapter 5 for just a moment. John chapter 5 and verse 24. And look at this verse in thinking about judgment. Jesus says in John chapter 5 and verse 24, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death unto life." Now this may be confusing because of all the other passages that we talked about that says there's going to be a great judgment. And there is going to be a great judgment. But what Jesus is talking about here is the results of judgment, which is typically, for those who have been judged, condemnation. Okay? Now that's the results of judgment. What Jesus is talking about, for those who believe in him, believe in his word, and believe in the one who sent him, and that's those who truly do trust in Jesus and who put their faith and trust in him on a regular basis. For these individuals, they will not come into judgment, that is, into condemnation, but they have passed from death into life. And that's the consistent message that we read throughout the scriptures regarding the Christian. Look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 in that regard. Paul writes, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, how do we get into Christ Jesus? Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27 says, "For as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." That's how we get into Christ Jesus. And that's what we need to do if we want to avoid the condemnation that comes from judgment on this day of judgment. No one is going to escape. Every single person will be there. All nations, all people, all the dead who will be raised. Every single person who's living will be caught up. And there will be a great judgment. All the secrets that we ever thought we have kept will be revealed. And we'll be confronted with those if we have not repented, if we have not given our life to Christ. But if you are in Christ, if you're in the body of Christ, if you're a Christian, you will be saved on that day from the wrath of God. Because you will be delivered by Christ on that day. Because for those who are in Christ, there is no condemnation. Those who are found written in the book of life will walk through judgment day without a worry, without a care, without a concern, because they trust in Christ Jesus and because they had done so all of their lives. Do you need to begin trusting in Christ this hour? Why not really believe his word? Why not really repent of your sins? Why not really confess him as Lord? And why not be baptized to be added to his body so that you can say with all of those who are in Christ, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We'll talk about what happens after that judgment scene next week when we look at this fourth thing that will happen at the end of time. All will enter their eternal estate. Heaven or hell? What will it be? And what will your answer be this morning? If you need to respond to the invitation of Jesus to come to him, trust in him, live for him, do that right now while together we stand and sing.